Take a sleeping pill and sleep back well, and not have to go through what I go through. I guess I should take Prozac right and just smile all night at somebody new, somebody not too bright but sweet and kind, who would try to get you off my mind. I could leave this agony behind.
Pottoy 29. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the new and improved Podtoid. There's been some changes this week. For instance, the cast this week consists of myself, Nex, Mr. Aaron Lindy, and Ms. Lee Alexander.
Hello.
They're both editors. I'm not sure what I am, but they are both editors, and they have agreed to come on, and in lieu of, you know, the tremendously large cast that we had before, we're trying to cut things down and make things a bit more succinct and on point, if you will.
And intimate.
And intimate. It's
Which, that's a later segment. Yeah, getting intimate with Podtoid.
It's going to be Podtoid after dark. It's going to be very, yeah. Very romantic. All right, so the first topic, this last week, and this is actually covering the last 2 weeks because I was sort of dying. First topic, gaygamer.net. Is it .net? .com? Something like that? Gaygamer.net. They are like the premier lesbian, gay, bi, trans community in gaming, and they were actually hit with some denial of service attacks from an IP address located in Philadelphia. We're assuming, and based on the fact that they were the only site hit, that it's motivated by homophobic sentiment.
Homophobia.
Yeah, and
yeah.
Basically, what do you guys think about that?
I'm actually really surprised that something like that takes place in our sort of community, because we're, you know, all gamers are kind of, we're not exactly the most mainstream crowd, like. You picture those kind of things, you know, being perpetrated by, you know, generic frat boy types. And, you know, I'm just sort of surprised that there's that sort of intolerance in a community that's full of, I mean, you know, we're all geeks, right?
Some of us.
Well, I'd like to think so. But yeah, I think I think you're absolutely right, Lee. But I think I wasn't very surprised when it happened, if only because, you know, if you hop on Xbox Live, of course, the first thing you're going to hear is like, I shot you, faggot. You know, that, you know, and it's like, I like to remark that any time that I'm, you know, for, you know, want for being called a faggot, I get on Xbox Live. That's a perfect place for it. But I,
at the same time, though, like, there's definitely a difference between using that word casually, like when you're griefing someone, and using it in an offensive way. Do you know what I mean?
Shut up, faggot.
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely. I mean, yeah, shut up, faggot. I don't think there's you're right, absolutely, I agree. But
I mean, I honestly, if I were straight up homosexual, maybe I would feel differently about it, but I feel that there's that people who call each other fags on Xbox are not necessarily homophobic, you know?
Well, yeah, I know, but there's still that kind of, I think it's brewing, and, you know, obviously there's going to be, I'm not saying that's the source, you know, it's like there's this, you know, burgeoning, you know, sort of homophobia that's just growing, and it's going to hit people with DDoSs, but I just kind of think that I wasn't really surprised, because it seems, you know, there are a lot of really hateful, malignant little fucks on the internet that are also gamers, and what's that?
I said sure.
Oh, yeah, okay. And I was so disappointed when it happened, but at the same time, I kind of thought about it when I was like, well, it seems like an inevitability. I don't like most people.
That's fair.
You know, do you think it also might have to do with, you know, gaming in general becoming, you know, less of a niche thing and more of a mainstream property, that, you know, you're going to see more of a stratification sociologically among who plays, and, you know what I mean? It's more like a general cross-section of society rather than being such a very specific group with identical interests?
Well, I think that it's I think that has a lot to do with the kind of stuff that you hear on Xbox Live. But, you know, if you're the kind of guy that can do a denial of service attack, you're not really, you're definitely part of that niche. You always have been, you know, it's probably sure. not the, yeah. What's that?
I said, sure. Again, I won't interrupt.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's weird. it keeps crackling out. I'm sorry. You know, like I have a feeling that this is, I mean, this is a dude who's probably been in the scene for a while, whoever, you know, the folks that up and did this are probably, you know, longtime geeks and something have been around for a while. It just seems like, you know, it's not like I'd like to think it's probably not some football jock who beat up gay people in high school, just said, hey, I'm going to, you know, read this Linux book and learn how to, you know, do denial of service attacks and take down gay gamer. Cause I hate gay people.
I think that the really confusing part about the whole thing is, you know, I can understand that maybe that would be the most high profile target for homophobia, because really they are the only community of their type within gaming. But at the same time, gay gamers like really, really nice and polite and shit, you know? They're not like us, yeah, where we're dicks to everybody. You know, I could understand somebody wanting to DDoS us because we piss them off, but the gay gamers like so like nice. They're like Chad Conselmo, you know? They don't.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny because, oh, please go ahead, Lee.
Additionally, also, they're not, I mean, yes, they're gaygamer.net, but their site is known more for the quality of its editorial and for the quality of its community, and not for being like heavily, like, it's not like they have a gay pride parade going on the front page constantly. You know, they're a good game site like any other. It's not like the gay angle is the only thing that they have going on. And it's not that the gay community is the only community that they serve either. And they've been around for long enough that you'd think that, you know, it's funny that it happens now. You know, I would like to kind of maybe wonder, look at the trail of the publicity they've been getting, you know, because, you know, they've been growing, like Destructoid's been growing, and, you know, see who, you know, what circle did they enter that they you know, pissed somebody off so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, and I think it's interesting also because it's like, well, you know, as Nex said, these are really, really great guys. And as you said, you know, their editorial is excellent. But, you know, it's not like feminist gaming websites where, you know, they don't get upset by virtue of the fact that, you know, they don't sit around and bitch about the fact there's not enough gay people in gaming. They don't. It's just that that's the means by which they unite their community and their writers. And that's totally sure. cool. But it's, you know, it's not like, you know, they sit around, you know, complaining about it, you know. But on top of that, yeah, next year, absolutely. We got the opportunity to hang out with Flynn DeMarco and Tiny Dancer. You know,
for the people who don't know, Flynn DeMarco, writer for Kotaku, owner of GayGamer.net. Yeah, continue.
Yeah, totally. And we got to hang out with them a couple of times during E3, but then the best night that I had at E3, we went back to their, it was like me and Chad and Husky Hog and Tiff was there too. Went back to their hotel room at the Lamerigo and hung out all night, and we had a bunch of other people, some people from MTV were there, and we were all just kind of kicking it. And at the end of the night, I'm just like, dude, fuck Destructoid, I want to work for you guys. They were the nicest, smartest, fucking coolest guys I saw at the whole show. And just like, it's so heartbreaking to me that people would go after them for that.
Was this before or after the hand jobs?
It was during.
Good. I'm glad that.
And Aaron, what did they do to you that made you so interested in joining their group?
Oh, they did everything. The better question is, what didn't they do? Oh, Lord.
It's a whole new world.
It was cool though, just because, like, you know, I hadn't been to any big events before that. I went to the Hudson thing. That was my very first, but E3 was my first big event. And, Tiny Dancer does a lot of, he got into doing what he's doing via freelancing, and he's a creative writing major like me. So we were just bullshitting about that for a while. And it was, I think the coolest thing about it was being able to connect with another, someone else in the industry who, you know, had been around for longer than I have. And I just walked away just like, you know, the hand jobs were great, but I walked away from that just thinking, God, it's so awesome. They're such nice guys.
So in the end,
you know, I think that if
in the end, they give great hand jobs.
They do. That's what our listeners should take away from this part.
GayGamer.net, the right. Home of great hand jobs on the internet.
The one positive I think that we can take away from it is that there was an overwhelming show of support in response to what happened to them. And, you know, and I saw something about it like on the AIM homepage, which like usually never covers anything relevant. And, you know, all over the place, I think the community had a chance to come out and really express the support. And I'm sure that the people who perpetrated it were representative of a very, very small group, because
absolutely,
you know, I generally feel like I'll say it again. I think that, you know, gamers are sort of a fringe section of, you know, American or whatever nation that they're from, you know, society as a whole. We're kind of an underground group ourselves, so we can sympathize with any kind of group being sort of, you know, attacked for, you know, something that they may, you know, feel or do that's different than, you know, the majority, right. You know, so we're sympathetic to that. And I think we had a chance to kind of unite and, you know, give them some love.
Like the Jews or the blacks who have traditionally been persecuted for years and years, but you don't see anybody DDoSing blackgamer.net or yiddishgamer.net, do you?
you know, though, if there were such a thing, I'm sure there would be.
There so would be.
And you know,
I'm
just saying, I'm kind of preparing for the attacks myself, because as you know, I'm starting like hentaipedogamer.net, and I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of like completely intolerant people who are against lollies, you know, coming and vilifying me for my. Yeah, but now I'm making light of it when it's actually kind of a serious thing. I'm sure it was upsetting to them. So let's send them some love. Let's radiate love from our breasts out to gaygamer.net, and glad they're back on their feet, so I hear, and I hope it doesn't happen again.
Speaking of breasts, I want to posit the idea.
That's a great topic.
Perhaps this is going to be an unpopular idea, but I was thinking about this earlier today. Was there ever any actual evidence that it was homophobia-based? I mean, it could just be a random DDoS attack. That does happen. You know, and I don't think they ever found the guy who did it, or for that matter, you know, I don't know, did they find, like, hate mail or something?
They didn't specify what it was, but I heard that they had, you know, like image spam and death threats, and there were, I believe that we know that it was hate because of the images and the things that were said on their forums and this, you know, kind of like image spamming that they received and stuff like that, that, you know, obviously they're not going to repeat what people said, but the nature of the attacks and the sort of peripherals of it kind of made it clear that that was the motivation.
Yeah, and even if there wasn't any evidence to that effect, like, you kind of get the idea. It seems somewhat obvious that, you know, if someone's going to pull out a DDoS on Gay Gamer of all things, you know, it's not as though they're, you know, they're not exactly, I mean, they're about where we are in that they're not exactly high profile, and you know, they, why else would someone take all that time and effort to take down a site? Well,
true.
You know, it's in the name right there, you know, it just seems kind of obvious to me. But yeah, there is all that overwhelming evidence that there was something vaguely stanky afoot.
I mean, a lot of people hate us for being just so irrepressibly sexy, but no one's ever tried to take us down.
Well, image spam, you know, anti-sexiness images. I mean, unless you're going to, like, send us pictures of Tub Girl. I think somebody did that. Didn't We Sucks do that?
Oh.
And got banned over and over again?
I'm sure he did. I'm sure.
That fucking kid. The okay, we're moving on to the next topic.
No more Tub Girl.
In the...
Not right now, anyway.
The conclusion that we draw is that everyone loves Gay Gamer, and this guy from Philadelphia is a fuckass. I, seriously, dude, way to totally fag the whole thing up. Goddamn. What the hell? The next topic, the next big thing that happened over this period of time that we have had since our last podtoid was BlizzCon 2007. I'm pretty sure that I'm kind of the de facto World of Warcraft guy, having played it since it was in beta, and, you know, playing it literally every day for the last 2 years. So I don't think everybody else kind of has the same kind of love for it that I do. But BlizzCon this year was huge.
No, I know.
It they announced an expansion, Wrath of the Lich King, which is the second expansion for World of Warcraft. They gave out StarCraft 2 beta keys. They had it there for demonstration for people to play. They gave out Murloc suits, you know, so you can go in the game and cosplay as a Murloc in a video game, which is unbefore seen levels of meta.
Meta. That's so meta it defies logic. That's so meta it's brain busting.
Exactly.
My head busts so
and
melon.
We sent honestly, I was supposed to go to BlizzCon. I was very, very pissed that I didn't get to go, but I was cool. I was dying, and so we sent William Haley to cover the whole thing, and honestly, I'm pissed that I didn't get to go. you guys who
it keeps you up at night,
exactly. You guys yeah. who don't have this kind of vested interest in World of Warcraft like I do, are you excited by any of this, or am I alone here?
Well, on
honestly, I don't play it. I'm not into the whole MMO thing in general. Like, I'm a very casual MMO player. I've never.
Did she just go away?
Yeah. Interesting.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can now.
Excellent.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll finish what I was saying.
Yes, please.
I was saying, I can't personally relate to your enthusiasm. I'm kind of a casual MMO player, and I can't see myself investing the sheer amount of time that it would take to get to achieve any kind of gratification from WoW. But why don't you tell us about your character next? Because I don't know what to play.
Okay, I'll do that. But do me a favor and stop breaking up.
I can't help it.
Okay, so my I play a level 70 Night Elf Rogue and have since fucking the beginning of time. But, you know, seriously, okay, I was thinking about this the other day, and I didn't get to play this the whole time I was in the hospital. And then I come back yesterday, and I spent like 12 hours playing World of Warcraft, because every time I take a break and come back, I realize the depth in World of Warcraft and the community around it is just unmatched by anything else. They are seriously like Grateful Dead fans from the 70s, you know? These are the kind of people who would get in a bus and follow a band around the country with no money at all just because they're so devoted to the ideas put forth. And admittedly, World of Warcraft doesn't have a big fat hippie like Jerry Garcia, but it still draws that kind of fervor from people because of, you know, it not being like anything else out there. And, Yes, Aaron?
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right in that it is. I mean, okay, look, I'm not a big MMO guy. I'm kind of like Lee in that it's just not really something I do, and our listeners know that. But I think if I had to choose one that I had to play with a gun held to my head and, you know, my mother, like, you know, dangling from a rope above a, you know, pit with a bunch of scorpions in it, I'd go with World of Warcraft. Like, it's a good game. I can appreciate it. It's the dedication that blows my mind. Like, and we've discussed this before, Nex, about how, like, you know, what's there to do. For me, it's like once you hit level 70, it's like, what's the point? And I can't see, like, doing raids every evening. But I think in that respect, it's like that part of it, you know, it's just more – for me, it was more the same because I'm not into it. So it's kind of like, you know, it's more World of Warcraft, which means I shut down, I start drooling, my eyes roll into the back of my head, and I wake up 3 days later in a pile of my own vomit. But I think that the single-player demonstration of StarCraft II really, really made me happy, and it's just really – like, I think it's demonstrative of my exhaustion of World of Warcraft and how just not – you know, just I'm tired of seeing shit about it, that seeing something of a – you know, seeing something of a game that Blizzard is doing that isn't World of Warcraft just blew my fucking mind. I just love seeing StarCraft II stuff because I'm like, oh, my God, they're actually doing something else. Thank God. Please,
are
more.
You guys
– All right, so here's – I was going to say, here's the thing that I don't understand about it, and perhaps you can elucidate for me. You have this environment where you won't see anything that's more like traditional fantasy fantastic than this. Like, you've got like elves and orcs and plus five this and minus, you know, it's like a roleplay nerd's paradise with all the elements that they have going on. And yet, anytime that, you know, you play, users are so technical about it. Like, it's almost like they're typing out playing an old, like, real-time strategy game. That's how technical it is. And it's so, like, you know, people, they plan their things ahead of time and they orchestrate these full-scale raids and stuff like that. And to me, I'm like, why would you have something so immersive and such a departure from the reality we're familiar with and then just, like, be a stat nerd? You know what I mean? Like, what I would like to see is I would be completely into it if they had more elements that allowed you to sort of, you know, be personified by your character and to live an emotional life and to have a sociological structure. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's my feeling on it.
I tend to agree if it wasn't for the fact that the role play servers on World of Warcraft are some of the most terrifying places
that's
ever.
True.
Like, that's my idea of hell.
Yeah, see, I've never seen them, so you guys describe that. Tell me what that's like.
They well, okay. I want to say in regards to what you just said. Not everybody's really a stat nerd, you know. There are so many people. There's 8 million. There's wait 8 or 9 million. There's millions of people playing this game.
You're up to 9 million.
So that you have all different kinds of people. Like the guild that I have been playing with for the last 2 years, we're just regular people. We just hang out. Yeah, we speak out of character. We don't role play the whole thing because we just don't care. You know, we just hang out in a world that happens to have dragons and murlocs that we can kill.
So would you still like it if it was like, if this was like, let's say your hometown and you guys were like,
yes,
you guys were running a racket,
yes,
you know, to try and have the most successful convenience store. And the raids consisted of, like, beating up your neighbors?
Kind of, but your,
for domination of the neighborhood?
Your analogy is confusing and bizarre.
Sorry.
But
well, that's the way my mind
works.
Well,
I don't want to roleplay things, you know? I would get so bored of, like, roleplaying shit that sometimes...
So you don't want to become your character when
you
play?
No, you know, my character is just an avatar of myself who just
that's
happens
funny.
To, you know, have knives and can... go into stealth mode and, you know, kill things really efficiently.
So would you still do it if it was actually a clone projection that looked exactly like you? And that was the only option you had?
Yes, only because I'm very pretty. I don't think most other people would have that same appeal, though.
Yeah, it would not be as an... It would. I think actually the environment is genius on the part of Blizzard, because if all heavy MMO gamers looked like themselves, it would be a scary, scary place.
It would.
That's an interesting notion. I think
no offense to ugly people.
Oh no, plenty of offense to the ugly people. They shouldn't.
Them.
Yeah, I think it'd be funny. They should, for whatever Second Life revision they do next, they should require something by law where you like have to where you have to like send in your passport photo and they build the character based on that.
That's genius.
Yeah, then we'll see if the same level of tiger donkey hybrid fucking cyber went on in Second Life. It's like, hi, I am I'm a baby tiger donkey hybrid. I'm wearing a diaper, bondage collar. Want to play?
Lee, I think I just want to make this clear. I think that's one of the most genius string of phrases I've ever heard on Podtoid. So very
really
well,
is.
Well done.
That totally beats the hell out of poop emergency.
Hey, nothing beats
well,
poop
well, you know, the baby underage donkey tiger hybrid in a diaper is having a poop emergency, and to them that's good sex. So
so getting back to Tub Girl,
kinds of gross. Wow.
Yeah. That's Second Life for you, all kinds of gross.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think in summation, getting back to the point that I guess I
apparently
tried to make originally, it's just no, please. I enjoy any deviation from conversation so long as it involves poop and
I enjoy deviation in general.
Yeah, yeah, and donkey tiger hybrids having sex with other anyway.
Underage. Yeah,
I know that like all of the internet is really going apeshit over the new World of Warcraft stuff, but I want to see more StarCraft 2. I want to see Diablo 3, and more than anything, I'd really like to see a new original product coming out of Blizzard.
Well,
but I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Fair.
I mean, they got the cash machine running on high, so I don't think.
God,
it's
yeah,
happen.
They you know, if Blizzard made titles as quickly as EA does, they would own the world. Four or five times over.
Yeah, but the titles probably wouldn't be all that great, though.
They also wouldn't be, you know, they also wouldn't be Blizzard titles with that kind of inalienable quality that we've come to expect from them. But,
Let me ask you guys something. If we could, for example, like, hijack Blizzard and work there for a day and tell them exactly what MMO to design next and what it would have, what would your perfect, like, absolute dream MMO be?
Mine would be World of Warcraft.
So you wouldn't change a thing about it.
I think yes, it's really derivative and it doesn't really create any new ideas, but they do everybody else's ideas so much better than everybody else that they don't have to.
Yeah, it's polished. Yeah. It's polished. I mean, that's and they deserve, you know, a round of applause for that. I would ask them not to do another MMO at all. Like, I want to see I just want to see something
but,
new.
But Aaron, like if What would it take to make you an MMO gamer then?
Because
you and me are a little different from next. Like, what is an MMO
take,
that you could get into?
It would take a bag of cash and 72 virgins, I think. I'm not dedicated enough to, I can't invest that kind of, like, I love playing games hard. Like, I'm playing Persona 3 right now, which is awesome, as you know.
Me too.
And it's, you know, and it's great, and I love just pumping time into it, but fuck, it's like with the last MMO that I played, I felt guilty when I walked away from it. Like I was like, God, if I'm not playing 6 hours a night, it's
like you're neglecting your responsibilities.
Exactly. Like I'm paying $15 a month to do what, you know, that's what, I don't like the idea that I have to invest 10 hours a day every day for 4 weeks to get to a place where I can actually enjoy the game. I think that's
the way that I would answer the question is that like, first of all, I totally feel what you're saying. Like, I play games, A, to get away from responsibilities and work, and if the game feels like work, I'm not enjoying it. And B, I play games to get the fuck away from other people. And if I have to sign on and deal with other people's shit online the same way I do in the real world, I'm not going to be having fun. However, there is, like, if I could design, like, an MMO that I would totally play and that I would totally put that much time into, I would like to see it kind of resembling reality, only way cooler, like maybe put it a little bit future so that people had some special abilities and stuff. And then you could just wage social war on the people that you wish you could in real life. Like, your avatar could, like, go into their office building and then just friggin' trash the place, you know? And then you'd have, like, penalties for that. You could band together with other people to, like, overthrow the social norms, you know? Like, a constantly breathing, dynamic real world where you had,
you can murder your
freedom.
Neighbor or something. Yeah.
Where you could be yourself, only so much cooler. And not have any limitations. Like, I would so play a more realistic MMO where I wasn't, like, running around getting gold and upgrading my armor, but where I was, like, you know, fucking my neighbor and getting
her
to...
You realize you just described a Fight Club MMO, right?
Yeah! Yeah. I would like Fight Club MMO.
That's a really good idea. I'd play that.
I would like a Fight Club MMO, because I'm a big Polonic addict. I love him.
Oh, he's so good.
I'm sure we have one or two people who... Yeah, I'm sure we have one or two people at Blizzard who actually read the site and maybe listen to the podcast. So if you guys are listening, that is an idea to pass along to the higher-ups. For the love of God, make it happen.
And actually, Blizzard, if you guys are listening, I would play Warcraft if you comp my subscription.
Yeah, there's that too.
That I would do. Then I would play it, and then maybe I would write about it. But
kids,
anyway.
Please. Kids, please. Nobody gets free perks until I get free perks. Damn it. But we're not gonna talk about free perks, because that would be unprofessional.
I'm gonna get intellectual syphilis from all of this boredom.
Exactly.
So we better change
the
subject.
All right, so I also wanted to talk, because I don't think we really covered it very much. Did you guys play much of the original StarCraft? I didn't.
Hell, well,
I somehow like totally glossed over it and managed to completely miss it. I played everything else that Blizzard has ever put out to a great extent. Like, even like
next.
Blackthorn and Lost Vikings and shit, I played the hell out of those. But I somehow missed StarCraft.
Too, I totally didn't play StarCraft. It's too nerdy for me.
Oh my god. Both of you, turn in your gun and badge. I can't listen to this shit anymore. You're off the force. I can't. Ugh. What the fuck? You guys didn't play StarCraft? It's fucking StarCraft!
Okay, so Aaron, as a person who's obviously a fan of StarCraft, I've heard a lot of objections to the new StarCraft with people who are saying, oh, it's just the same thing, it just looks prettier. Do you feel the same way?
I actually, no, not at all. In fact, I think, again, big fan of StarCraft, not so much a big fan of Warcraft 3, because I think they made it a little too complicated, and, you know, that it's fun, but not in the same kind of pure sort of, like, you know, it's, I don't know, I'm going to keep this from going on too long, but suffice to say that I think that it's just enough new content. I mean, if you see some of the single player demonstrations, I mean, there's new units. There's some really cool new, like, between missions, sort of, you know, interactive scenes where you can talk to folks and that kind of shit. But it's still, yeah, it is more of the same. And I think that in certain cases, that's totally merited for a game like StarCraft, which for me has provided so much fun over the years. Like, it never ever gets old to me. Like, my roommate and I will bust it out maybe once a week or so and have it out with an 8-player match and you know, rip each other apart, and it's fun. It's so much fun. So in that case, like, no, I'm glad they didn't introduce, like, you know, some sort of, you know, like, some ridiculous bullshit that would, you know, break the game. I mean, they had a really good foundation, and to carry on with that was the right idea. So no, I'm not.
And what is any sequel, really? What is any sequel, like, but the same thing, only prettier? Like, look at, like, GTA, like, how different is 2 from 3 or 3? You know what I mean? Like, how different is Vice City from San Andreas? Like,
exactly.
If the formula works, you should stick with it. You know, add a little new content, spruce up the graphics, make it possible to do a couple more things, but don't mess with a good thing if the fans like it.
Yeah, totally. And I think that, you know, usually when sequels fail, it's when they either deviate too much, you know, either in a good or bad way, or if they don't fix what was wrong with the first one, or if they try to innovate too much, and if they overextend themselves a little too far, that's when sequels tend to fail and you know, get met with a lot of, you know, angry gamers. But, like, you don't hear anyone making the same objections about Halo 3, do you, Nex? I mean, it's more or less the same fucking game that it's been for the last two games. You know, it's just, you know, no one seems to care about that. Like, so what's the deal? I mean, if it's more of the same and you enjoy what it used to be, you should enjoy what it is.
But at the same time, StarCraft fans are immensely more rabid than the Halo fans.
I suppose that's true. Yeah.
The
Well, in that case, I would figure that they would at least like not object to the fact that they're not really monkeying with what's a proven formula.
True.
You know.
Thank God they're leaving the monkeys in. I want to just, we got to move on to the next topic, but can we all agree, at the very least, that StarCraft II, no matter what they do to it, is going to sell 8 million plus copies?
I think you might be right. Okay. Yes.
Good. So Blizz.
I'm glad we've settled
Blizz,
on that.
Blizz, if you're listening. Way to go, you got another hit on your hands, no matter what the fuck you do. Well done. Okay, so next topic is the other big thing that happened. Another big con was QuakeCon 2007. It's id Software's big celebration of everything id. You know, lots of BFGs and cyber demons, and John Carmack talking about shooting things into space. And by the way, John Carmack is a fucking genius. That guy, wow. He's a wow. Anyway, so they announced a couple new things. First off is that all of the old id titles, Doom, Hexen, Quake, all of that is going to be available on Valve's Steam service. Secondly, they are releasing Quake Zero, which is going to be a Quake 3 arena played entirely through a web browser for free, completely ad-supported. And lastly, they announced their newest IP, a game called Rage, which seems to be like halfway a driving simulation, not simulation, more really more like arcade style driving game, as well as shooting things. And of course, it's all done up in id's glorious id Tech 5 engine, which is, you know, going to be the new default standard for shiny rocks and various new colors of brown. Any of this excite you guys?
Not at all.
Really?
you have the wrong person if you're going to talk about Quake. I'm going to sit this one out.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Oh. No, so are you just, is it that you're not a fan of Quake or that you're not a fan of first-person shooters?
A little bit of both. Like, I'm not going to say, like, the game that I'm most excited about now is BioShock, so it's like...
Yes!
And I will play a first-person shooter if it's interesting, but if it's just, like, a walk-around melee kind of thing, like, I was never into it. Like, I was playing, like, all cerebral, pretty adventure games back when, we know, Quake and, like, Doom and all of those types of games started to be well-known. I mean, I'm not going to say it's a chick thing. Maybe it's a chick thing, you know, because, you know, I like straight-up violence sometimes and shooting sometimes, but it really... It just bores me, and the concussive strobe flashing is going to give me a seizure, and it's just,
as a side note, on her whole, I don't know if it's a chick thing, I just want to say, and this probably isn't going to go anywhere, but I think it is kind of a chick thing, because I find that the chicks who are really into first-person shooters are really mostly into console first-person shooters, and they're kind of scary. I don't really know what that says about women or the game itself. But,
you know, I don't like to play reflex-based action games on the computer in general. I've never been much of a PC gamer. You know, when I play computer games, they're, you know, like adventure games or like Sims or shit
or
like that.
Yeah,
like, I've never...
Something slower and a little more
Or hentai. Thought. Exactly. Like, I don't like action-based control. I don't like using my keyboard and my mouse for action games. I just don't have those kind of reflexes, and it doesn't feel natural to me. So, yeah, you're right. If I play an FPS, it's a console FPS. And if I play on the PC, it's story-based, thoughtful, simulator, etc. You know, like, it's nothing that needs hair-trigger reflexes for me. Because I just never, you know, I never got the grasp of that kind of play.
So do you think that the girls who do play these sorts of things have penises?
Probably. You know,
Jesus.
No, seriously, the only chicks that I've met that are into, like, I knew some Counter-Strike girls, they're fucking dykes, you know, like, honestly.
They're lipstick lesbians, like, they're not dykes, but they're...
Very sexy lipstick lesbians, but they were masculine types. They were very, you know, they tended to be very, like, nuts and bolts kind of girls, you know what I mean? And I'm not, like, a real chicky chick myself, you know, I'm not masculine, but... You know, the girls that I knew that were into the computer gun games were more of the, you know, the glasses types.
The glasses types?
Yeah, you know, glasses, and, you know, maybe they got a Clarasil in the bathroom.
I'm confusing your glasses types with my cute indie art school girls types, which is totally different.
Well, maybe they were that type. These are the girls who you're going to see on webcam at 1 a.m. in an Atari t-shirt trying to get attention.
Like,
yeah, we have those on our site. They listen to the podcast. They're going to be angry.
Well, yeah, I didn't say that. Hey, I didn't say I didn't like them. I just said this is their kind of game and not mine.
Right. Fair enough. Aaron, what about you? You excited about any of this new stuff id's bringing out?
I'm going to wait and see on the new stuff because, you know, I don't know. Quake 4 didn't do it for me, and you know, it's here's the thing. I would definitely agree with Lee in that it just seems like lately, as everyone knows, I'm not a big fan of Halo because it's like, and I prefer like Half-Life 2 and games kind of like that try to do
really?
Something interesting. Yes, I know. Yeah, I know. But Lee doesn't know this, and she's new, so I gotta introduce
her.
Yeah,
okay. No, please,
sort of
get me
joie de vivre, you know. You know, I like something that's I love PC first person shooters, but I like them to have something a little interesting. So like, you know, Valve is kind of my personal god. But the thing is, before, you know, when I was younger, we played an ass ton of Quake. So like, and it's still like, if it's one of those things, it's kind of like StarCraft, where if I want to break from the new and the things that are getting a little overly complex, I kind of like simplify and go back to the well and play me some Quake. It's the kind of fast-paced sort of, you know, it's like Serious Sam, you know, when you don't really want to think about what you're doing or look at the level designs or have to think about how to approach an enemy, you just run towards it and fucking, you know, volley a hail of gunfire at it.
I like to think when I'm playing a game. But
yeah.
Actually, you know what could be promising, though, about this is that you guys have heard that Valve is releasing that, you know, a community element to it that you're going to be able to have, you know, achievements and chats and friends lists and leaderboards and like things like that it didn't have before, like sort of Xbox Live-ish, that you're going to be able to arrange your own tournaments with your friends and schedule your own events. And you're, you know, basically it's going to have like achievements and stuff, which could put like kind of an interesting angle on it if you're having like a group competitive angle.
Right.
So, you know, that could be promising for a game like that, you know, which, you know, I wouldn't want to play just as a standalone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, I was happy that, you know, all the id games on Steam, that makes me happy because it's like, you know, those are games that I grew up playing and I really like them. And every now and then, you know, a little Quake or Quake 2 or sometimes maybe even some Quake 3 does kind of hit the spot. But, you know, I think it's just one of those, it's almost a guilty pleasure at this point. Like, I've gotten to the point where it's like, well, I'll not play, you know, this game and I'll play some Quake for an hour and just get my aggression out and act like a retard and run through a level in 45 seconds.
Right.
It's a different kind of enjoyment, but it makes me happy.
That's
that
how
it's...
I feel about Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where it's like I'm happy to see it thriving because they've done a lot of things that have made me really happy. But I'm just gonna wait and see on a lot of this new stuff. And as for the new engine, it's kind of like it's weird because I'm really tired of hearing about engines as if they're end all be all. It's like it's like the Unreal Engine 3. It's like, I don't give a shit about the engine. If you don't have an art staff that can actually like put a game together that is actually beautiful, it doesn't matter what you have backing it. So every time someone's like, new engine, oh my god, look at this, it's like, well, it looks great.
Otherwise you just have the same crappy brown tunnels only looking
exactly.
More beautifully
they're
rendered.
Excellent shades of brown, though. That's the key.
I
personally, the part that I was really excited about was the Quake Zero announcement. The idea that they are going to put Quake 3 Arena, which is beloved, right? It's one of the, like, it's one of the biggest multiplayer FPSs of all time, you know? It's right up there with Unreal Tournament as the top ones. But they're putting it on a browser completely free, ad-supported. Honestly, I thought it was kind of a ballsy move, and I don't know if it's going to work, but I think if anybody can do it, it's going to be id and John Carmack with his whole... you know, genius coding ability.
Well, you know, that model is the one that, you know, a lot of other MMOs have actually been following for some time. You know, they'll have like a microtransactions element, but, you know, I cover all that virtual world stuff for the other site that I'm editor of. And the Korean ones in particular, they have racing games, they have shooting games, they have, you know, pop star games, they have all kinds of, you know, one track Quake-esque games that are already, you know, ad supported MMOs.
But the key here is none of those rely on timing as much as Quake 3 Arena does. If you get people who, if you
well,
get
these
competitive
that,
people who
want
to play Quake
like...
3 Arena who can tell the difference between 3 and 4 milliseconds, and you, they screw it up, the game's gonna fail. You know.
Oh, sure.
Well,
yeah,
wait a minute.
They have a lot to live up to, because granted, like when say like Nexon launches a game like Kartriders over in the East, that's going to be coming here soon. You know, it's been like that from the beginning, and people learn to play it on those rules. But with a Quake property, people have an idea already of how the game is supposed to play, and if it's interfered with at all by this kind of format, I can see how it's risky for them.
So do we have faith? I have faith. I think Carmack can do anything. I think he's Jesus.
When it comes to a free, browser-based game, I have faith in anything that I don't have to pay for.
True.
So I certainly hope it's good. It's not as though, that is one thing that I worry about, is that I wonder how that's actually going to work. Like, that really confuses me. But I'm sure he'll find a way, because, like you said, apparently he's Jesus, and he's got legions of worshippers and followers and that kind of thing. So it's something to look forward to. I am never going to be opposed to a game that I used to like being free and being able to play it online again I'm actually hoping it revitalizes the community, so there's actually people to play with. It's funny, every time you want to play Quake 1 on the internet, you have to play with a bunch of Danes, and fuck that. Because fuck the Danes.
Danish. the other thing about it is... one of the big successes of the Quake series, the whole Quake series and Doom series kind of created the idea of modding, and I just don't think there's a way to do that in a browser, and I think that severely limits the community possibility.
Yeah, that's possible.
Well, yeah, but you figure that any mods that would have been made for Quake 3 would have been made by now. It's like now people pretty much just want to play the game.
However, if the initial launch of the browser-based model is successful, they may start... generating some forum for this, because everything is like Web 2.0 or die now.
Yeah.
So they may start implementing, if it goes well and if it's successful and if they get a lot of signups, they may start implementing some kind of mechanism for user-generated content that'll be different than, the mods that you're used to.
Oh,
but it'll,
a Web
it'll,
2.0
probably
editor?
The same.
That would
no,
blow
but
my
you know
mind.
What I mean,
seriously,
though.
That would blow me the fuck away if they pulled that off.
But that people can, maybe have a community forum where they can upload their own stuff that can be patched into the game,
Fair enough.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I'm not very tech savvy,
but
I think that's possible.
Yeah, it may lead to some exciting things, and I'm looking forward to it. Again, if I don't have to pay for it, it's all right by me.
That's fair. Okay, well, that covers that. Next up, next on tap, reader questions.
Yay, reader questions. Hi, readers.
My first question comes from Mabek, who asks, my question is, when is Suma coming back? He's never coming back. Rob's gone. He's a persona non gratis in the community, and
persona non grata.
No, shut up, you. Yeah, I know.
You're gonna regret having me on here next.
He is so fired for contradicting me. But the point is, Rob was found with child porn in his house, and so...
Was he really?
Hold on, let me tell my story. Rob was disgraced when he was found by the LA sheriffs with child porn in his house, and as such, he's been asked to never return. Destructoid just can't... It just can't have a part in that kind of rampant, disgusting, aberrant sexuality.
Use your words next.
I mean...
Hang on a second, guys. I gotta clean out my hard drive for a sec.
Oh, good plan. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Good idea.
All right. Okay. Anyway, I'm done. I wasn't doing anything. What were
so,
we talking about?
So yeah, Suma's a pederast, and that's all. I'm kidding. We just don't like him. So there.
I wasn't
back.
Here.
Although if you do want to meet him as part of Destructoid, just go to any event. He's likely to be using our name to get into
that
shit.
That also is true.
So.
He does that.
Yeah.
But enough bashing on him. We should bash people we still have on site. No, we shouldn't do that either. Seriously.
I hear Nick Chester is a fucking douche. That Nick Chester.
Nick Chester touches kids. Oh, speaking of which, no, I...
You know who I hate?
On that. What?
You know who I think is the biggest fucking dick ever? Next. Oh, wait, he's on here. Oh.
Aww.
I'm just kidding, honey.
You
I love
better.
You.
You so better. Or you are so sleeping outside tonight.
Yeah, right.
Agent Chieftain asks, why does Microsoft insist... Agent Chieftain, that's his name. Faserious, why does Microsoft insist on putting crap games on Xbox Live Arcade? Track and Field is terrible, the Contra ports butcher the franchise, and Spyglass plays like ass.
Is he saying that the selection is terrible, or that they're bad ports of good games?
I don't know. Let's assume both.
Well, because I think this is a problem in general. Like, Virtual Console sucks too. Like, if they're gonna make retro games and put like add live components to games, like, why are they picking the ones they're picking? What I want to know.
They can get the IPs easily.
Well,
yeah, I know, and it's cheap. They're fucking cheap.
If I if I remember correctly, there's it's not so much Microsoft. It's and now there's one. It's Digital Eclipse, I think, that did support for Super Contra.
Right.
If I remember correctly,
they do a lot of
them. Wrong.
They did, they did many of them.
Yeah, it's not really like, Microsoft's fault.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, there are a lot of really, really, really shitty Xbox Live Arcade games. Games that just blow my mind, and I wonder who in their right mind sat down and said, you know what game I want to make? You know, I just, oh, God. Like, Super Contra was just, the arcade version was not great, but they had to put, you know, it's like the original Contra when they put it up. They couldn't put up the NES version because, you know, that wouldn't quite function. So they have to put up the really shitty arcade versions. The same with like Double Dragon. And they update it with those really crappy, really, you know, like the interpolated, you know, soft focus fucking graphics. And it just, you know, I think for every good XBLA game, and there are plenty, there's four or five just really shitty ones. And, you know,
Which one do you like? Which one would you recommend? Let's be positive. Which is a good game?
Bomberman Live. That is the only Xbox Live arcade game that anybody needs. That one, there's like Assault Heroes, and you know, Prince of Persia is pretty good. And
Castlevania's,
I mean, there are
good.
Plenty of really...
I like Castlevania. I spend a lot of time with Castlevania.
Well, Castlevania's excellent. I think it's just what kind of kills me is that, you know, people complain about the Virtual Console, you know, lineup, but it's, I mean, they're ROMs, and I mean, I can accept that. It's okay. I don't buy them except for N64 games because I don't want to hook that behemoth up anymore. Right. But if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna start, you know, bitching about these online content offerings, you know, you can't help but just look at some of these offerings. Like what's that kung fu game, the arcade kung fu game?
Kung fu.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys played the demo of that, but it's like if you could drive nails into the part of your brain that, like, you know, processes, you know, pleasure and you know, like, and governs how well you feel about yourself. That's what that game is fucking like. It just makes me want to kill
myself.
Well,
it's an arcade game from 1988. You know, it's not going to be that great. I mean, that's...
Oh, dude. No, but there are plenty of arcade games from 1988 that were fun. I mean, shit, look at the, you know, well, actually, those were a bit later. But, like, you know, look at a game like, an arcade game like TMNT, which they put on XBLA, which is an amazing game and a lot of fun and the kind of game that you would want to play over Xbox Live. Whereas Year Kung Fu is just like, you know... Fucking just nail my balls to a plank of wood. Just do it. Just do it. It'll be better than playing this game. God damn it. You know.
Fair enough. All right.
I think they need to just can. Like, there are some developers that just should just stop. Like, Digital Eclipse is one of them. I mean, they do some good work. Castlevania was great, but just stop.
Personally, I think that Microsoft and whoever is in charge of putting stuff out should just put everything out. They should just release as much as possible, and then, you know, who cares? If you don't like it, don't buy it.
And
that's the bottom line. You know, if. So what? Some games are going to suck. Yeah, some of the games they release on, you know, their actual distribution channels suck. That's just the way games are.
I mean, we used to, you know, before we had any of this, all we could do was, like, rape ROMs off the internet, and we didn't complain if they sucked because we were getting to play the game again, and we didn't pay anything for
that
it.
That was for free.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the big difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that when we were in that phase and doing that, we came to accept that there's really no perfect ROM because it's an ancient game and it's now running on a new platform and it's like, you know, take what you can get.
I got a new question from Neoni, whose icon apparently identifies him as a furry, which I'm hoping he's being ironic.
Oh, you can find him in Second Life.
I'm hoping he's being ironic, but I don't think he is because.
The pacifier in his muzzle.
You are so gross. Seriously,
oh,
you gotta
God.
Stop playing that game. It's fucking with your head.
I don't play it. Why do you think I don't play
you
it?
Too?
I just know a lot of people.
I've been
who do.
On the phone with you while you're playing it. It's weird.
What? Don't lie. I've been on the phone with you when you're masturbating to child porn. So there.
That's not a lie, though. That's true. I love child porn. God, get them before the hair does, you know. But
oh God! Question.
Yes.
Ask your
question.
Fucking question.
Okay. He asks, "Do you think the reason the PlayStation 3 seems to possibly have better hardware than the 360 is because Sony is a hardware company and Microsoft is a software company?"
I don't know that it does have better hardware, but if it did, that's probably why.
I assume he's referring to all of the issues Microsoft has had lately with the Xbox breaking and the fact that the PlayStation 3 has.
Kind of like the Windows PC. Yeah.
Well, I I don't know. I don't think so. I think, you know, if you look at all the problems that people were having with their PS2s, you know, I don't think, you know,
I never
specifically
had a problem
being,
with my PS2.
You know, it's weird because I didn't have a problem with mine. Mine was a launch and then it died like 4 years later. But all that time, you know, while I was happy with mine and it was actually doing okay, I heard about people just having all kinds of issues with their PS2s. You know, I mean, people, I guess the collective memory is a short one, and people don't recall just how many problems Sony had with that. You know, it's great that they're doing great now, and I'm glad people aren't getting red rings of death on their fucking PS3s. But, you know, I don't think being a software company over a hardware company has anything to do with it. I think that Microsoft fucked up big time, and they need to fix it. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. For the record, my original Xbox died too. So
I'm going to agree with Aaron. I think really the main issue here is that Microsoft, in their rush to get their console out there first, made some mistakes by cutting some corners that they shouldn't have cut. Now it's kind of biting them in the ass. But on the other hand, Microsoft has been better than like any company in the history of gaming in trying to make up for it. You know, they're fucked.
It seems
don't
that
get
way.
Me wrong, but they're definitely taking the proper steps to make things better. I mean, 3-year warranty is unheard of. The tech sector does not have 3-year warranties.
It did take them a long time too. Yeah, it's more or less a recall.
True.
And it's pretty much the only way they can cover their ass by now. You know, if they didn't do that, what could they do? If not for the 3-year warranty, what could they do aside from buy everyone a new one?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, I think that it just, my only complaint is that it took them a really long time to get that going. I mean, the fact that they went ahead and did that, I mean, oh, go ahead, please.
It probably took a long time because they went back to the drawing board and they were exploring options. What can we do to recoup this and to reciprocate for the consumers at the least cost to us at the greatest productivity to the consumers? You know what I mean? Those kinds
Absolutely.
Of things, like a massive industry-wide issue like that takes a lot of planning. I'm sure they weren't just sitting on their hands, you know, with the warranty.
Yeah,
that's
you're right.
Fair.
But still, those pricks.
Yeah, I just want to tell everybody, my Xbox 360 died about a month ago, and I contacted Microsoft, and Microsoft was really, really fucking helpful. You know, I called them on the phone. The people I talked to were really, really cool. They were like, listen, we're going to send you a box. It'll be great. And now I'm still waiting for the box because UPS keeps fucking
UPS.
Up, and I hate UPS so much. And they're like,
UPS,
they're like, you
know what?
Like, you don't know how to get to your house. And I'm like, you guys have delivered here thousands of times before. I don't understand why this one is so hard.
I have to tell you this story. When my little sister was small, she was always making like acronyms out of things, and we were waiting for something on UPS and it wasn't coming, and my dad was bitching and moaning. My little sister goes, she was like six, she's like, I know what UPS stands for. We're like, what, Jesse? She goes, you people suck.
That's
your sister
brilliant.
Is
get her
adorable.
A job
whenever,
that.
Whenever yeah. Well, my sister's like 20 now, but whenever UPS screws up now, I'm like, ha, you people
nice.
Suck.
It's very clever, Lee. Very clever.
You credit it all to Jesse Alexander.
Is your sister single, by the way? Never mind.
No,
forget it.
Why was I expecting that? Why was I waiting for that? When the word 20 came out of fucking Lee's mouth, I was like, wait for
Aaron,
it. Wait
but
for
Aaron,
it. Here it comes.
Look who we're dealing with. The other night, I had to pull Nex's dick out of a block of wood because he thought it was
I'm,
a woman.
I'm
well, that
the other
happen.
Night, I was in the hospital. Yeah. That's not true.
See, Lee, you're new to the staff, so you don't know just how often that happens. But, you know, we've actually got a specialized – we've got a team. You know, I head up the reviews team. You know, Brad does features, and we've got, you know, Chad heading up the get –
It must
know,
be
Nex
must be murder when you guys go to – it must be brutal when you guys go to events. No, Nex, that's an inflatable doll. No, Nex,
no.
That's a Bowser – that's a statue of Bowser. No,
that's why we're not letting him go to CES
event.
Because when he goes to the porn section, he's never going to make it out alive. He's going to see – you know, it's just going to be – Yeah. It's just going to be so many women that he's going to see, like, the nearest electrical socket and just be like, look, an orifice. Feel a packet.
Jesus Christ. I'm just happy that Chad is the one in charge of getting my dick out of things. You know, I can't think of anyone.
Well, Chad's responsible.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone who would be, you know, nicer about it. So, moving the hell along.
Yeah, it's enough, dick. I know you love to talk about it, but come on, please.
Quite.
This is a civilized
program.
Yes, Aaron.
Can I say actually one thing about Chad really quick? This is a minor
sure.
deviation. Well, for those folks who know that I'm the reviews editor, Chad actually got a promotion. He works for WB, and he got a promotion recently, and he's kicking ass and taking names and doing all kinds of new stuff. And but he had to leave the review crew, so I just, you know, I know he listens to Potoid occasionally. He does Retroforce, but I just wanted to say, Chad, we love you very much. Very well done, and I want
congratulations,
to thank you.
Chad.
Yeah, Chad. So I wanted to thank him for kicking so much ass for the review crew, and he will be missed. He's still going to be, you know, obviously part of Destructoid, but. He's off kicking ass and taking names, so he's no longer part of my little elite staff.
Way to go, Chad. Wait, is it still the WB? I thought it was the CW. Or are we not talking about the television network?
No, we're talking about Warner Brothers. Like he does something with like DVD subtitles and shit. I'm not sure. I think it's DVD authoring in some capacity.
That's
I'm not
right.
sure, but you know, that's what he's doing.
The okay, next question. Crack Hippo asks, for each of you, what full album would you like to see downloadable for Rock Band? And we're going to keep this succinct, people. So we're going around in a circle, wait till you're called on, and then answer. Please, thank you. I'm going to go first, because my game, my rules. Personally, what album I would like to see downloadable for Rock Band? Oh, and by the way, for those who don't know, that's kind of how they're doing Rock Band's downloadable stuff. They're releasing full albums that you can play in Rock Band, and so on and so forth. Full album, what I'd like to see downloadable for Rock Band, probably, Body Count's self-titled album, just because I have a dream of being able to play Cop Killer in a video game because of the recidivism of the outrage that it would cause amongst politicians. God, that would give me a hard-on. Lee, you're next.
Enema by Tool.
That's a
great
good one.
Fantastic. Aaron?
Mob Rules by Black Sabbath. Oh, yes. Oh, my. I think I quoted Living on the Edge of the World in Bargain Bin Laden today, so I can't, you know, that song, I just want that song on every music. I want that song on fucking Dance Dance Revolution, for Christ's sake. That's a great song. Look at this danger!
Totally the kind of thing you can dance to. And as a side note, apparently the BioShock demo just hit Xbox Live.
Yes, it
is! I still don't have an Xbox. I still don't have a 360 that works, so god damn it.
I just got mine, and I don't have the adapter, and I have DSL in the house, and the fucking cord doesn't reach, and there's going to be no way I can do
that.
We have to go get it tomorrow, because I'm like, this thinking about this game makes me put my hand in my panties. I have my hand in my panties right now.
I'm booting up my Xbox right now. Fuck you guys. You guys carry on the rest of the show. I'm getting BioShock. Yes! Yes! I'm sorry. I'll stop now.
Next question.
I hate you to death.
Yeah, well, I don't even have one that works.
I love
Fuck
you.
Both of you guys. I'm going to go play the Red Star on PlayStation 2.
Hell yeah, you will.
Which is actually really, awesome. Really good, right. By the way. Seriously.
Really? When did you get
Yesterday.
It?
Yesterday.
All right, let's do one
about
let's,
more questions.
Let's
right.
do one more question. So one
I'm
more question
sorry to deviate, Aaron, but that game is awesome. So.
Next
sorry.
Question from Shadow-like. Shadow-like. Who do you hate the most in the gaming world? And why? I'm going to go around a circle again to keep things succinct. Myself, I would say that personally in the gaming world, I hate Kevin Pereira. I think Kevin Pereira embodies everything that's wrong with the current idea of trying to televise games. And, you know, stop trying to make it such bullshit MTV fluff where you're trying to appeal to 14-year-old kids who don't fucking know what they like anyway. You know, just talk about video games. You know, don't try to make it into an episode of Pimp My Console. It's fucking stupid. Lee, you're next.
Oh, I don't know. I don't hate anyone.
I
really
have
don't.
To choose.
I don't have to
choose. It's the rules.
Do me last. Do Aaron next. I'll think
Aaron,
about
do you
it.
Have one?
Oh, poppycock. Well, I guess I don't really, again, I'm kind of like Lee in that I don't really hate anybody. And if I did, I certainly wouldn't fucking announce it on a goddamn podcast that lots of people listen to. Although I will say this, I don't like the fact that the thing is, I'm looking forward to getting the opportunity to meet Morgan Webb so I can actually put her in a perspective that would make me, you know, more readily, you know, that would make me like her. Because, like, I think right now it's just I see her and I know she's intelligent and I know she's smart. And I know she knows a lot about games, but every time her name comes up, there's like a group of 100 guys with their cocks hanging out that all like slap me in the face with them and say, oh my God, Morgan Webb, she's got tits and she plays games. I think it's what she symbolizes. And especially what she symbolizes as to why I hate guys who are gamers and can't resist the thought of someone.
There you
who
go
plays
though.
Games.
You hate other men.
Exactly.
You don't hate
exactly.
Webb.
I don't hate Morgan Webb at all, but every time I see her, part of me dies, you know, like, and it's not her fault at all. You know? So that's whenever I think of hatred, it's because of her, and it's not at her, it's just because it's at her entourage, you know.
Fair enough. The, yep. Lee?
I hate that fucking dog in Duck Hunt.
That's not really so much a... Okay, fine. I'll let you get away with that. Wonderful. Shit, and I'm trying to... Oh, okay, here we go. I've got one last question. And then apparently we have to go because Lee has to get into bed so that she can wake up early and go to church.
That's right. I pray for my hymen to reform.
What? Irvine Frost asks, what long exploited franchise will end in the next years?
Sonic.
Really? Completely?
I think. I don't think end, but I think it will be... I think it's going to go away fast, unless they really do something like, I guess a Sonic Rush 2 on DS is supposed to be on the way, and I'm hopeful about that, and this RPG, whatever, but it feels like they murdered it. They murdered it hard with the most recent console game, so it's kind of like, at this point, I'm sort of like, I don't know what's going to happen to it. I hope it doesn't go away. I mean, I don't want it to go away, but that's, if I had to name a likely candidate, at least in the form it is now, I don't think we're going to be seeing much more of it for quite a while.
What's the time period we're looking at?
In the next couple of years.
You just said, he said years. Yeah.
Years. Okay. GTA.
Really?
Really?
They're not going to be able to make it anymore. I guarantee you that after all of the crap that they've taken for, you know, all of these games that are so under scrutiny, it's like, and plus, okay, so they've got their investors pissed at them now because of the stock scandal and because of, you know, the Manhunt issues and because of the delay on GTA 4, that if they even say the words GTA again, then their stock is going to die. I don't think that they can afford to make another one after this, that they will keep going probably with the BioShock franchise and some other things like that. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting position. Okay.
I guarantee you they won't be able to.
Fair enough.
After their stock issues, because they have investors to answer to before they can answer to us, and they're not going to be able to do it.
I'm going to say that no long exploded franchise is going to die, mostly because the market keeps growing at such a rapid clip that there's no reason for anything to die. They'll just keep releasing crappy sequels. I think,
especially because all of the giants, I agree with Nex also, because all of the giants are losing money on their, you know, on their consoles, and there's so much risk now in making next gen games that they're going to stick with sequels rather than make new franchises.
Absolutely.
I think that I think though that with the release of the All Pro Football 2K8 from Sega, I think that Madden is going to take a huge hit, because honestly, All Pro is much, much better than this year's version of Madden, and
That doesn't mean anything to the people who buy Madden.
No, but it
though.
Does.
You know what
but
I mean?
It does. You aren't giving them enough credit. I think that the point is, and the more important point is, the NFL, their contract with EA comes up next year. They've already said that they, you know, basically don't want to sign an exclusivity agreement with EA because Sega just does shit so much better, you know, and EA. Ever since they got that exclusivity contract, their Madden games have been shit. You know, there's no reason to.
Well, and that's. Yeah. No, and I that's it's. Yeah, you're true. I mean, you're true. You
I
are
try.
True. No, you're right. But, next, honestly, just level with me for a minute here. Do you really think there will ever be a world without
Madden?
Can you see a world in which EA will not
It's all wishful thinking, but I think that.
It doesn't matter how shitty it gets, dude. EA's got the money to put behind that game. Even if it's only $20 to pay some dude to make a text-based version of it or some shit, there will always be fucking Madden. That is their biggest. I mean, they're gonna sell the hell out of that until the end of time.
It's true. I just think that the 2K Sports, the 2K Sports series is going to become bigger than Madden. That's my prediction.
It's possible, but since when? Ask yourself this too. It's like since when does quality, you know, really govern?
Oh no, I think financially, you know, it's going to become bigger. I think it's.
Oh no, no, no. I agree. But like, you know, even if it becomes bigger by virtue of its quality, it's like, you know, it's, you know, even if it's a better game to play, there are some people who are just so stuck on the name Madden, and there are plenty of people like that. People that don't that just they wear blinders. They see the name, they recognize, and they go for it. That I don't think there's going to be any. EA has nothing to fucking worry about. They're going to be around. They're going to outlive us. Every last one of those fucks.
God, I hate them so much.
I don't hate them. I'm just tired of them.
Well, fine. I'm going to be completely caustic and say that I hate them as people and would like them dead.
Yeah.
That's right. There's no shades of gray here anywhere. It's all hyperbole all right. the time. That actually brings us to the end of our questions. We had a ton of questions, but guys, seriously, questions about ass to mouth are not useful. They're only useful the one time. That's it.
They were pretty useful
that one
time
too, they were pretty useful, yes. Every other time, not so much. That brings us to the end of the podcast. We cut out the community corner thing, basically, because nothing was ever said there.
We don't work on the site anymore. We're just leaving it as is till the end of time. We don't even have anyone doing
exactly.
maintenance. We fired Joe and Lackner.
Yeah, we've got Lackner and William Haley, and that's about it. That's the extent of our staff at the moment. Things are going well. So Lee, Aaron, any closing thoughts?
I'd just like to say thank you for having me on my very first Podtoid, and I look forward to the next.
Yeah!
Awesome. And
I'm your groupie.
And yeah, we're big fans of Lee. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
Hey,
it's enough.
Yes, Aaron.
Well, I was just gonna say Lee. No. You know what? Fuck it.
No, you can't say my name and then not say anything.
All right, okay. Now, do you think I just want to say, do you think that anyone from certain other publications that you work for and do reviews for listen to this particular podcast?
I don't know. I'll have to ask them.
Okay, well, you know what? Don't ask them, because I just want to, you know, fuck it. Lee did the review for Persona 3 with Brad, and she did a fucking awesome job, and we can't print her name because, you know, she can't do anything else for Persona 3 before her other review, her actual review for the Pace magazine goes live. So I just wanted to say that was fucking awesome, and we're really glad to have you on staff, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Gosh, that's so nice. Yeah, no, it's just that I can't put my name out on it before ahead of the other review, you know.
And it just broke my heart not to be able to give credit where credit was due, because that was really one of the best reviews we've had on the site. So, I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, so very well done, and we're glad to have you.
Well, I hope to do some future reviews.
Excellent. Damn
okay,
it.
So...
thank you so much,
because God knows I'm never going to put Let next to another review, because he's a fuck.
I know. Dude, this review of this iPod game that I did, man, it broke my fucking iPod, dude.
Oh,
I know.
God. I can't wait for that.
Is it that shiny, like, Lumines looking
kinda.
One?
Kinda. Yeah, it's really cool. It was really cool for the 6 minutes I got to play it, and then my iPod died completely. Yeah.
Seriously? You should just write it anyway and call it your 6 minute review.
Oh, I am. There's so much rage. I am so pissed off at this, whatever the hell the guy's name is. Nana Ancho or whatever the hell. Anyway, the guy.
Yeah.
You guys will read it. You'll see.
I think it's a chick.
It's a dude. No, it's a dude. It's totally a dude.
It's a dude?
If it was a chick, Next wouldn't be pissed. He'd be like, how?
Yeah. If it was a chick, Nex's dick would be stuck in his iPod right now.
Yeah. Hold on, I'll fix it. Ow.
That never fixes anything.
Did I mention how pretty you are?
You are all bastards. Okay, so, end of the podcast. Podtoid 29.
All right.
In the bag. Good night.
Good night, bitches.
Good night.
In a wake of some change, stones in the pipeline, like some new mountain range, leave the lowlands behind. They take your photograph, you come into existence, you realize it's your past.